tonight. Only one is worthy to redeem the earth. And when we talk about the earth, we're talking about all of creation, that eternal kingdom that Christ has come to redeem. And guess who's part of it? We are. Hallelujah. So, praise Him. And as we look at the one who is worthy to redeem the earth, we're also going to look at how it has to be reconciled, has to be purified. His wrath has to be poured out onto the earth. His wrath is going to be poured out on the Jews. And His wrath is going to be poured out on the tribulation saints because they did not take the invitation to escape that wrath. They did not choose Christ as their Lord and Savior beforehand. Now the earth, of course, had no choice, right? It's a product of fallen man, the fallen nature of man. But it is going to be purified. And it's going to be, we're going to look at that tonight as we start looking at the seven seals of the trust deed of the earth, or the trust deed of creation, if you will, the everlasting kingdom that Christ is going to open. Because every time He opens it, there's a judgment that's poured out. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You. We praise You that we don't have to face judgment. We praise You that Jesus Christ came and died for us, and we have been delivered from that judgment because He is worthy. Not anything that we've done, but because He did it all at the cross. And because we have surrendered our life to Him, we will escape this wrath. We're also going to look at, Father, how You have brought us up to heaven, though. And as this wrath is being poured out, that we're going to be in heaven with the Lamb. In heaven with the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're going to be there observing the things that are going on. And there with the 24 elders, we're going to be praising Him and praising You. May we rejoice in that tonight, as You just give us clarity of the things that we have to look forward to. So thank You for all that You've done, all that You're doing, all that You'll ever do. And may we not let the things of this world get us down, because as Jesus says, be of good cheer because He has overcome the world. And this just further confirms that as we are taken up and are with You, as the world, the earth is redeemed. You bring Your tribulation saints to You through martyrdom, and that the Jews will come to a point where they will reconcile their sin and be ready to call out upon Jesus for salvation. So we thank You for all these things. Thank You for this body that You've given us here tonight. May You prepare our hearts with Your Spirit. May this message be delivered in that Spirit, the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I was convicted just a minute ago. I said all seven of us could go. And you know, I'd rather have seven people who thirst for the Word, who truly love the Lord, as far as a church or a body of Christ is concerned, than 1,000 people who are there going through the motions. So praise God, you guys are here and enjoy the Word and want to hear what He has for us. Amen? All right, so what happened last week? Well, last week we saw the Antichrist is revealed, and the wrath of the Lamb is about to be unleashed. We looked at Paul and how he reassured the Thessalonians that they hadn't missed the rapture. And we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And what did he say? He said, as I told you before, the great falling away must occur first. And the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, must be removed. The church, the body of Christ, is going to be removed before the Antichrist is revealed. So be comforted in this. You haven't missed the rapture. Because the important thing, Christ has set us apart for salvation, not for the wrath of the Lamb, not for the wrath of God, as it talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9-11. We also looked at how the Old Testament presents the rapture. And we saw Isaiah prophesied that the dead in Christ will rise and be with Him, be with Christ. So rejoice. And how they would then close their chamber doors and not have to peer upon the indignation of God being poured out on the earth as we're in our wedding chamber for that 7-year period. And that wrath will be poured out, and it's poured out due to man's iniquity. And it's God's righteous indignation that is going to purify the earth and is going to reconcile the tribulation saints. And as I said, the Jews to Himself through Christ and through this judgment. And that was brought to us in Isaiah 26, 16 through 21. Then we explored where the church was. And we looked at metatauta after these things. And how the letter to the church of Philadelphia describes a door that is open to them. And it is kept open. And Christ is going to command His church to be called up. Come up here. Just like a picture of what we saw when John was called up through that door. I believe that's a picture of the same door. And you know, the churches that are left here, the church of Laodicea, church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the lukewarm church, the dead church, the church that preaches Jezebel, are still going to be here. Because that's going to make the ecumenical church. And it's going to be a one world religion. And that's who's going to be persecuting the saints. The tribulation saints. And we're going to look at that today. So not only is it the Antichrist that's coming after who's left as far as believers are concerned. And as Chuck Smith says, he believes it's going to be the world's greatest revival after the rapture. But they must be martyred in order to participate in the first resurrection. There's no way around it as far as the Gentiles are concerned. So we're going to look at that tonight as well. Then we saw that after these things, that the church was in heaven as represented by the 24 elders. And they are worshiping God along with the four living creatures who have the face that describes Christ's earthly ministry. The suffering servant of the ox, the face of a man, son of man, the eagle, which is God's divinity. And then we have the lion of the tribe of Judah, the face of a lion. So, and they're saying amen as it is finished. So tonight we're going to continue exploring the gap between Mark 13 verses 13 and 14. Let's go ahead and look at Mark 13. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. Mark chapter 13, because this all ties into this, because what we're trying to do is fill in the gap between, really, verses 13 and 14. But I just want to review something. Let's look at 13:7. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. We're going to look at these beginning of sorrows because each one of them is represented by a seal that's on that trust deed to Christ's kingdom. So we're going to see that's what it's talking about. We're already out of there, if you will, because the church will have been taken away. And that's why we looked at ourselves in Luke and saw that as the buds, we leave before that season comes. But here they have the leaves on the fig tree. And they will be looking for the Antichrist as they are going through this season. So, we're going to also see that in verses 13 and 14, it says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." So what we're really filling in tonight is that gap between where we see the church was raptured because we endured to the end and the great tribulation that's coming upon the world. And so we want to fill in that gap. And the first 3.5 years is the tribulation period or the wrath of the Lamb. That's what we're going to be looking at. So we're going to see tonight the seven seals to the trust deed of the earth are opened by the only one who's worthy, Jesus Christ. As I said, the Lamb's wrath must be poured out. And we're going to look at part one of the Lamb's wrath because there's seven seals and then there's seven trumpets. All of these things happen in the first 3.5 years. And we're going to see that as well. So if we just take an overview of the 70th week of Daniel, this is a brief summary. What we're looking at is we had the church age end. The church age ended when the fullness of the Gentiles came in. Soon as the fullness of the Gentiles came in, we had the rapture of the church as described in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. So we had the rapture. Now, what we have is a period of time, and now the seals are going to begin to be opened, which we're going to look at tonight. But in between time, what we have seen is we've seen the church in heaven singing the song of redemption. Tonight, we're also going to look at the song of the martyrs, as they're some of them are in heaven waiting for their full number to come in. So we're going to tonight spend our time looking at these seven seals, Revelation chapter 6. Next week, we're going to look at the trumpets, Revelation 8, 9, and 11. And that really ends the first 3.5 years, or the tribulation period, the wrath of the Lamb, the seals and the trumpets. Then what we are at is we're at the abomination of desolation, chapters 11 through 13, where it's about a 30-day period. And there's a lot happens that in that 30-day period. So that'll be the setup. And then we'll go on to the great tribulation, which is when the seven bowls are poured out. And we look at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and we will be coming with Him. And after He comes at the battle of Armageddon, we enter into the millennial rule, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And it'll be done here on this earth, and it'll be done in a restored temple that Ezekiel 40 through 48 talks about. Amen? So that's kind of an overview where we're at. All right. So let's go ahead and get started here. Let's take a look at only one is worthy. Let's go to Revelation 5, 1 through 7. Revelation 5, 1 through 7. Only one is worthy to redeem an everlasting kingdom. And it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and out," or inside and on the back, "sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much." Now this is John talking. He's the one that's weeping here. "Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me," that would be one of those 24 elders, huh? One of the church members, right? Representative of the church says to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures," those are the creatures, each one had a different face that we talked about that represented Christ's earthly ministry, "and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain." And what a appropriate place for the lamb to be standing, in the midst of the elders, the midst of the church in which he had saved, those whom he had redeemed. All right? "Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." So, we see here a picture of Jesus as the only one who is worthy to open the seals on the scroll. John is told, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." He has prevailed by losing his life for our sake. He's the one that is worthy because of what he has done. What he has done to redeem us. Redeem the earth. Going to redeem the earth. Redeem the Jews. Going to redeem the tribulation saints. Because his work has been finished on the cross. He has prevailed. That's what they're talking about here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings, has prevailed. But how has he prevailed? As the Lamb of God that was sacrificed, still bearing the scars upon his body. It says that he stood again in the midst of the elders as though he had been slain. You know, when we see Jesus, we'll look upon His face and look upon His wounds, His hands being pierced. And I just got to think, you know, it's going to be, you know, we're going to be speechless as we see the price that He paid for us. And just, as again, as I just see Him standing there in the midst of the 24 elders with the four creatures standing around them, it's a whole picture of what Christ did in His earthly ministry. As the four facets of Christ, that suffering servant, the divinity of Christ, the Son of Man, as well as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, all, gave His all, as God would will Him to do for us. That's how He prevailed. How do we prevail? In Christ. By surrendering it all to Jesus. If we want to gain our lives, we lose it. That's how we prevail. We want to gain what Christ has for us, we lay down our life to Him. Amen? And we talked about being anxious today, and I know I've been getting anxious myself. We get nervous. We get worried. We get concerned about what we're going to do. That's the wrong place to be. We just lay it down at the foot of the cross and let Him take care of it. Amen? But it's like I've often said, no matter how godly we strive to be in the Spirit, we're all just as human in the flesh. And what our life needs to be focused on is that surrender, being in the Word when we feel that anxiousness coming. May we prevail in Christ. May we persevere in Him. May we endure in faith and not anything of ourselves. And I'm preaching to me tonight. You know? If it sounds like I'm preaching to you, well, we're all in this together. You know? Because again, that's what comes against us, is our flesh, our anxiousness, other people's flesh. The things that we have prescribed for us to do, we start doing it ourselves instead of prevailing in Christ. And we can make a mess out of it. But if we let go and let God, it's going to be all He wants it to be. May not turn out the way we want it. May not be anything we imagine. But it's His. Amen? So, He prevailed. We think of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But He stood there as the Lamb. Broken for us. Having seven horns and seven eyes. Seven, as you know, is the number of completion. So this is the sign of complete. The seven horns is the sign of complete power. Horns represent power, like the horn on the altar is the power of God. So you have the complete power of God represented on the Lamb. You have seven eyes. Eyes represent omniscience, can see all. Complete omniscience, pictured here on Christ. See, the seven spirits of God. The Holy Spirit. Complete. The same that we talked about in chapter 4 about God the Father. The seven spirits at the throne of God are also complete with Jesus. So He is God. He's our Lord God. Yes, there's one on the throne. But here's one equal. The Son. The Lamb. Who is worthy. The only one that's worthy. For our worship and for our honor, and to open the seals of the trust deed of the earth, of all creation. Our Creator Himself is worthy. Praise Him. Praise God for His sacrifice for us. He's worthy to open the scroll, the seven seals on the trust deed to Christ's kingdom. As He is the Redeemer. That's His purpose. And He takes that scroll from the Ancient One who sits on the throne. Let's go to Daniel 7:13 through 14. Because Jesus is given a deed to an everlasting kingdom. Daniel 7:13 through 14 talks about that everlasting kingdom. And talks about getting it from the Ancient One. And you know that kingdom will never be destroyed. Daniel 7:13-14 says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. This would be God the Father, Him who sits on the throne. And they brought Him near before Him. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. That's the kingdom. That's the trustee that He's opening the seals to. That kingdom that will never be destroyed. So, well, the earth's going to be destroyed. Well, how can you call it the trustee of the earth? Well, because He's going to reign and rule on this earth, and guess what? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. So His kingdom never goes away. This earth may go away, but His kingdom will not go away. So yes, He is going to fulfill His prophecy, God's promise, that the Messiah would reign and rule over Israel, His chosen people, and He's going to do it for 1,000 years. And we're going to be there with Him. We're going to be kings, or if you will, administrators, ruling administrators, much like Joseph was, right, in Egypt under Pharaoh. He wasn't the king, but he had administrative powers in that ruling power, if you were. Because who did he represent? The Pharaoh. Who are we going to represent? The King of Kings. We're going to be priests. So we're going to be teaching and witnessing. And Jeremiah 36:30, I believe it is, talks about how we're going to be priests and teaching and raising up these folks who go through the tribulation period, who make it through the tribulation, and for the Jews who are there are saved mortally. They're not going to have glorified bodies like us. So we're going to be there as a brilliant witness, teaching them, sharing our experiences with them, and the glory of God and the manifold wisdom of God and His grace, how it was poured out on us. What a powerful witness it'll be, because we'll know that's all done through Him, because He prevailed, and we endured in Him who prevailed. Amen. What an awesome experience it's going to be for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. It's awesome. Just never ending. And we will have that inheritance forever. And there'll be a whole set of things as we have overcome that we will have as part of that inheritance. But that creation, His kingdom, must be redeemed. It's got to be redeemed through judgment, the judgment of the tribulation. That's why as we look back here, see, it says tribulation judgments. They're judgments because they had to be poured out for the reconciliation. For God could not leave things unpunished or the way they were. They didn't accept the propitiation of Christ, so they're going to have to go through this reconciliation period. Again, the earth had no recourse. The martyrs are going to face martyrdom as part of that reconciliation. The Jews are going to face the 7-year tribulation period, which we're going to look at as we get to Daniel 9:24-27. And we're going to see that the coming judgment beginning in Revelation chapter 6 is dictated and administered by the Lamb. And it's going to be metered out on a world who hated the Lamb and all that He stood for, and rejected His offer of redemption until they are faced with these tribulations, these labor pains, these beginning of sorrows that are worse than anything that the world has ever faced before. And they're going to be shaken. And they're going to see how the rapture and the church was pulled out, and that revival is going to come forward as the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on Israel and poured out on the earth. But God wants none to perish. And out of this judgment, the Jews, the tribulation, saints, and the earth will be delivered. Our long-suffering God provides yet another opportunity for those who rejected Him at one time to choose Him. Amen. So, The earth will be restored to how it was before the fall. And through all of this, that's where we're going to rule for 1,000 years, fulfilling God's promise. And we look forward to that time. Let's go ahead and read 5:8-14. And it says, "Now when he had taken the scroll," this is the Lamb, "the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Who's singing this song? The church. "You have redeemed us," right? "We're going to reign and rule with you on the earth." That's what we had just described. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." So the 24 elders sing that new song on behalf of those who have already been redeemed. That's the church. And as it said in verses 5, Revelation 5, 9 through 10, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." What made him worthy? Because you were slain. That's what made you worthy. "Because you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. For he has done these things. As that Lamb, he is worthy." This is our song of redemption. And we will be part of those countless multitudes, those messengers. I believe that's what angels is meaning here in part, is his messengers, as we have been his messengers, as we've shared the gospel. And we'll be singing the chorus. And other angels will join in too. The angels, as we would know them, would join in too and proclaim Christ's worthiness, as it talks about in verses 11 through 13. And then every creature everywhere is heard to proclaim, "Blessings, honor, and glory to him who sits on the throne," which is God the Father, the Ancient One, "and to the Lamb forever and ever." This reminds me of how every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. What an awesome picture that is. And the four living creatures that represents Christ's earthly ministry say, "Amen." Amen. He agrees with what Christ has done. Amen. It's complete. And the 24 elders fall down and worship him. Worship Jehovah, the triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In its completeness, complete omniscience, omnipotence, and all power, right, of the Spirit, complete. But now Jesus is about to unleash his wrath on the earth, but the church is in heaven with him. So let's go to Daniel 9:24-27 to see where we're at on the prophetic clock, now that we're looking at the seven seals about to be opened. Let's see where we are in the prophetic clock, because we know that Daniel 9:24-27 is Israel being the prophetic clock. And let's see where we're at. So it says 9:24, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for their iniquity. You see where we're coming from as far as being a judgment? They have to be reconciled because of their sins through this judgment. to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy, who is the Messiah. This is describing the 70th week of Daniel. Remember, so this is the whole reason for the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period. 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore the and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome time. 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So, what's this telling us? Well, Daniel provides us this prophetic summary for the Jewish nation, the 70th week of Daniel. And it's identified as the tribulation period, and that tribulation period is for the salvation of the Jewish nation who first rejected Christ, but now will be restored through this process. Once they call out to Jesus as the Messiah, as it talked about in 9:24, when they anoint the Most Holy. That's what this whole 70th week is about. So 9:24, the 70th week is for the Jews to end their sins, to make reconciliation for those sins, to bring in everlasting righteousness by anointing their Messiah as the Most Holy. And this will fulfill the prophecy. The prophecy that is described in Daniel 9:24 through 27. 9:25 talks about the rebuilding of the walls by Nehemiah. Artaxerxes sent him out to rebuild the walls. And the walls and the streets, as it's talked about there, it says that the streets shall be built again and the wall. So that is the key. So that's when Nehemiah went back. There would be 69 weeks. That's what, 173,800 days. To the day that the wall was rebuilt, to when Jesus entered in on that triumphant Sunday as he came in. 9:26. Christ is seemingly cut off. That's the 69th week. When he was crucified, it looked like it was over. And the Romans come in and destroy the city and the temple, just as Jesus had talked about. Right? In Luke 21, that we looked at Luke 21, how the city and the temple would be destroyed. So we can see how this is unfolding, where we're at now. Then 9:27 says, Antichrist, 7-year peace treaty. There's a peace treaty made by the Antichrist. And in the middle of it, he sets up the abomination of desolation. So where are we at as far as the prophetic clock is concerned? Well, we're at the opening of the first seal. And at the opening of the first seal, the Antichrist, or if you will, verse 9:27, has just started. The 7-year peace treaty has been, the Antichrist has been revealed, and the 7-year peace treaty with many is in place. All right, so we're right at the start of that 7-year peace treaty, and that includes Israel, and they're allowed to rebuild their temple, but the Antichrist is now released for global conquest. And what we're going to see in these seven seals now is the Antichrist going out and those sorrows being unleashed on the earth, because he is now moving forward to bring those sorrows. Does that make sense? So that's where we're at. So, let's go ahead and read the Revelation 6 now. Let's go to Revelation 6, and we'll look at these seven seals. All right. Because it's important for us to note that they had to have the 7-year peace treaty, so the Antichrist had to be revealed, and it's verse 14 of Mark 13, right? Mark 13:14 says, And look for the abomination of desolation. Well, that was already prophesied that it's going to happen in the middle of that 3.5 year period. So we're just at the very beginning of the tribulation. So we're right here. According to our clock, we're like right here. And the first seal is about to be open, which is described in overview form in Daniel 9:27. Okay, the first seal. 6:1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. A crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. All right, so the Antichrist here is revealed. The rider, he's the rider on the white horse. He's the counterfeit king, the counterfeit Messiah. He's the wicked shepherd that Israel has adopted as their Messiah because he has brought peace and allowed them to rebuild their temple. Right? He's dressed like Christ. He's riding a white horse. He's wearing a crown. But what's he got? He's got a bow instead of the sword of the Spirit. That's the difference. So the Antichrist is presented here as a counterfeit Messiah. And he goes out conquering. All right, verses 3 and 4. Second seal. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. So, the second seal is open. A rider on a fiery horse. Peace is taken away. War and slaughter goes everywhere. The rider doesn't need to bring war and destruction. All that needed to happen was peace with God and the peace of God being removed. When you take away the peace of God and peace with God, all that's left is man to its own devices. And that will cause war, angst, slaughter, divisiveness. Notice it says peace was taken away. Not that war was caused, but when you take out peace, take out what God has given us, the peace of God and peace with God, as Jesus says, "I give you something the world cannot give. I give you peace." When that's taken away, then war will ensue. And so that's the second horse. Peace has been removed. All right, verses 5 through 6. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." So, the rider on the black horse, holding a pair of scales, represents scarcity for everything, because they weighed out. They used to weigh out everything on scales. When you bought something, remember it says in Proverbs, don't have unbalanced scales or whatever. You know, that's dishonesty. Well, so here's a picture of scarcity going throughout the earth. So, it means it'll cost a day's wages for the ingredients to make a loaf of bread. Whether it be 3 quarts of barley or 1 quart of wheat, it's a day's wages. So it's talking about how scarce things will be. It'll be a time of famine that reduces life down to its bare necessities. Yet, the nicer things will be available to those who can afford them. They will protect the oil and the wine for those who are chummed up with, if you will, to the Antichrist, to those who are with the Antichrist, and there'll be those privileges, the elite, so to speak, that are with the Antichrist. And part of those that'll be enjoying those riches will be the ecumenical church, as the woman rides the beast, is a picture of the church, the ecumenical church. And she'll be going out and plundering believers. And doing it for worldly riches. for their own personal gain. So that's why they protect the oil and the wine, so that the elites, those who are with the Antichrist, can enjoy those things. And that's the way it always is when you have tyranny. You have the have and the have-nots. The elites and the impoverished. Abject poverty. And that's what this is representing. It'll be a time like that. Let's read 6 or 7 through 8. The fourth seal. Widespread death on earth. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And I believe if you look this up in Greek, it's like a pale green horse. So when you see it, sometimes you'll see it as like a pale green. You'll see it pictured as. So a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death and Hades, followed with him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So here we have the rider. The fourth rider comes with the fourth seal. Sat on a green horse. Death sat on it, and Hades followed him. He was given the power to kill one-fourth of the world. With sword, famine, disease, and wild animals. The last rider shows the death toll associated with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There is going to be, slaughter. There's going to be, the sword is going to kill many because peace is taken away. There's going to be famine. People are going to be starving to death. There's going to be disease because of malnutrition and these other things. And there's going to be wild animals running amok, tearing up, as people are impoverished and can't take care of themselves and are living out in the wilds or whatever. They will be unleashed on these people as well. So a fourth, 25% of the world's population will be destroyed because of that. I don't know how many billion people there are. Does anybody know? Is there like 6 billion or something like that? Something like 6 billion. Yeah. So that's a lot of people going to be destroyed here in this over this time frame as the four horsemen of the apocalypse go forth. And again, this is just a picture of the starting of the sorrows. Just starting to go out. So, now, Revelation 9 through 11, 6, 9 through 11. The fifth seal. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were, was completed. So now we have a picture of the tribulation saints for the first time, the martyrs who are coming in. And they're underneath the altar and they're crying out, "How long, O Lord, before our full number comes in?" So we have the martyr tribulation saints here. And a great multitude of tribulation saints are then described in Revelation 7, 9 through 17, which we'll get to next week. But as Chuck Smith says, he says, here's a group, not the church, who've been martyred during this period of time that the Antichrist has went out. Now, when the Antichrist comes forth to reign upon the earth, he'll make war against the saints and prevail against them. That's what the scriptures tell us. They could not be the church, because the gates of hell can't prevail against the church. But when the church is raptured, I believe the earth is going to experience one of the greatest revivals in its history. And here they are waiting for their full number to come in. Now again, we already talked about how the tribulation saints were there singing the song of redemption. They've already been redeemed. They're already there. Here we have the martyrs waiting under the altar, asking for vengeance. The church is under grace. We don't ask for vengeance. Here's the martyrs looking for vengeance, and vengeance will come, but it's going to be coming through Christ, and we're going to see that it'll be It'll take until Revelation chapter 14, the end time harvest, until their full number comes in. All right, so this is a picture of them waiting for that full number to come in. Amen? You guys with me on that? All right. So, and we'll talk about them here more in just a second. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. The sixth seal. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Why do we call this the wrath of the Lamb? Because right here is described as the wrath of the Lamb. "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" So, great earthquakes and heavenly signs come forward. That's what was described. Earthquakes in various places and different signs, cosmic signs and wonders are going to take place. The sorrows continue. Kings hide from the Lamb's wrath. Who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? Because the great and dreadful day of the Lord has begun. Malachi 4:5 talked about that. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is not just one day. It's that 7-year tribulation period. That's the day that it's going to take. The day of completeness is 7 years. So that's the great and dreadful day of the Lord, or the day of the Lord that is upon them and has begun and is unfolding. It says in Malachi 4:5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And you say, "But where is Elijah?" Well, chapter 11 is going to tell us that they've sent two prophets. Christ has sent two prophets to prophesy and with power. And I believe one of them, almost assuredly, is Elijah. Now, whoever the other one is, Moses or Enoch, no one knows. But here, Elijah has been sent out. The seals have been opened. And so Elijah has come. And he's come as a witness. We're going to see that there's going to be the witness of the two prophets. There's going to be the witness of the 144,000 Jews that are sealed. And there's going to be the angel that goes around, three angels that go around and share the gospel. So, there's going to be a witness to the whole world during the end times. There was a witness to the whole world before the rapture. Remember Mark chapter 13 says, but first the gospel has to be shared with all nations. Right? Now, after that, after the rapture, there's going to be a witness to the whole world one more time about the kingdom of God is upon them. Repent, don't take the mark of the beast. And so that's what this is talking about. So Elijah has come. And it talks about they'll be there for 3.5 years. 360 or 3.5 years of 3.5 years, and that's in Revelation 11:3-6. Not going to be able to get to that tonight. Next week, what we'll look at is we're going to look at chapter 7, which talks about the 144,000 Jews that are sealed. We're going to look at the martyr's song. And then we're going to compare them, and we're going to look at the two different groups that are in heaven singing songs. We're going to have the martyrs singing their song, and we have church singing their song. But what I want to get to is this. So here we have the 70th week of Daniel. By the way, I took some of these slides off of our foundation study or our last days and end time study. So what we just looked at is we had the rapture happening here. Now, Chuck Smith surmises that the rapture is going to happen concurrently with Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it's something to ponder. But what we just looked at was the white, the red, the black and the pale horse. We looked at the persecuted tribulation saints. We looked at the great earthquake. And now we're getting ready next week to see the silence that comes and prepares for the seven trumpets. All right? And all part of that is the Jews, the 144,000 Jews that are sealed, as well as we continue looking at the martyrs and what their song is. Okay? Y'all tracking with me? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for just bringing to clarity all that you desire us to know as far as the end times are concerned. And Father, we rejoice that we're going to be in heaven and not having to go through any of this. So we praise you. We praise you for your faithfulness. We praise you for being who you are. And we praise you for making us who we are, your children. So thank you so much. Father, we pray that you are honored in this time of fellowship and honored in this time as we went through your word and just looked at how these things are going to unfold. And we just take comfort knowing that you've given us all things. You've given us salvation in Jesus Christ. And that we're to pray to be worthy to escape these things. And the only way we're worthy is in Christ. So we thank you for that. We just lift up our lives to you and just pray that you will continue to work into and through us and that you will be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.